Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Just Bible Ministries Fellowship Broadcast. This is Mark Cooper. Today our topic is lost. We're going to look at chapter 15 of the book of Luke. Luke writes this document as a compilation of events that teaches around the life of Christ. That centers around the Messiah's life here on earth. Luke is the author of this writing and the book of Acts. His style of writing and the messages of these two books indicates that Luke may have been a Gentile, and he may have been writing to both Jews and Gentiles. And his message is that the kingdom of God is inclusive. It's inclusive of everyone, regardless of race, heritage, or their sex. Luke writes this letter documenting many illustrative stories, or parables, which the Bible calls them, and these stories that Jesus told as illustrations. These parables are stories which communicate a relatable event, but has multiple spiritual meanings. Luke 15 documents three of these stories. Now, this chapter documents the 28th, 29th, and 30th parable of the book of Luke. There are many in this book. If you've attended church or read the Bible in detail, maybe attended Sunday school as a child or even today, attend Vacation Bible School or listen to podcasts, go to sermons, you may have heard these three parables taught. They're great stories, and the theme of all three are lost. For the sake of time, I'm not going to read through this whole chapter. I'll leave that detail reading up to you. If you're listening on demand, now would be a good time to pause and to read the 15th chapter of Luke. If you're listening live, go back and read the 15th chapter of the book of Luke after we're done, and maybe re-listen to this broadcast. But to summarize, there's three parables. The first one is the parable of the lost sheep, the parable of the lost coin, and the parable of the lost son. These three parables are taught by Jesus when he's challenged by the religious authorities. The religious authorities came to Jesus and said, "You're associating with sinners and you're having dinner with the sinners." See, the religious institution back then, the Jewish traditions, became very exclusive, meaning that you had to have the right pedigree. You had to have the proper heritage. And if you weren't, you were treated like a second-class citizen, as indicated by the temple. There was a Gentile temple in the inner court that the Jewish people could go to, and the Gentiles could not go into the Jewish section. And there's this exclusion, meaning that everybody is outside, and the Jewish people are the ones who have all the information. They even went so far as, even if you were a Jewish woman, you had to be separated. Only the Jewish men could go into the inner part. That's how exclusive it became. This was man-created. This was not the way God initially set it up. Jesus responded to this religious position. He responded by telling of these three parables. We're going to look at these three stories together. I'm not going to teach each one individually. We're going to break it out, but we're going to look at it as a whole, all three of them together. And if you look at all three of them together, they all have the same three elements. The first one is there's something that was lost. The second one is there was a finder. Somebody found the lost. And the third element is there's a reaction to the event. So the first story, I'll summarize it, is about the lost sheep. Jesus said there was a man who had 100 sheep and one of them was lost. He valued that sheep to the point where he went out and he looked for that sheep until he found it. And then when he found that sheep, he brought it back and he called all of his neighbors and they celebrated the finding of that one sheep. 100 sheep. If you have 100 pennies and you lose one, are you going to search? If you have $100 and you lose one, are you going to search? If you have $100 million and you lose one, are you going to search? And that's up to you and what you put the value in. But in this story, the value was important enough to go after that one. And that's what this man did. And you would assume that this is a shepherd who's managing 100 sheep. See, in this case, the lost was the sheep. The finder was the man. And the reaction was a celebration. Said that my sheep was lost and now I have found it and I'm going to celebrate with my friends. The second story is the story of the lost coin. Jesus tells the story about this woman who had 10 silver coins and she loses one. And she looks all night, she sweeps her house and she stays up all night with a light searching for this one coin. Again, the value of that coin was important to the woman. Some people say it was a day's wages. Some people say that it was one of the 10 coins in her crown or her headdress, indicating that she was married. And the significance of it doesn't matter, but the point of the matter is that it's very important to her and valuable to her that she spent time focusing in and finding this coin. And when she did, she called in her friends and neighbors and celebrated that she found her coin. In this story, the lost was the coin, the finder was the woman, and the reaction was a celebration. The third story is the lost son. A young man comes to his father. His father was very wealthy, had many servants and had land and cattle. The young man comes to his father and says, I want my inheritance now, and I'm going to go live like I want to. The father gave him his inheritance. The son leaves and goes and plays. He has women. He goes with prostitutes. He has parties. He throws parties with his friends. He's having a good old time until his money runs out. And then he ends up having to work with the pigs, feeding the pigs. This is a Jewish person, feeding pigs, and pigs are unclean. So there's a contrast there in how deep and how, the depth of where this person went. Where the son went. He's feeding and he was hungry and he started eating what the pigs were eating. And then he realized, what am I doing? My father's servants are treated better than this and well cared for. So he returns and he finds his father waiting for him with open arms. And then there's a big celebration. The father says, bring out a fatted calf so that we can celebrate the son who is now found. See, in this story, the lost is the son, the finder is the father, and the reaction then is a celebration. And so when we look at these three elements, these three things that occur in each of these stories, we're going to start at the end. The third element of the story is the celebration. Calling in your friends and neighbors and family and your company. What was lost is now found. It's a representation of what happens when someone recognizes who Christ is. When somebody recognizes that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Jesus Christ is the Son of Man, came to this earth, lived on this earth a sinless life, was crucified, buried in the ground in a tomb, rose again from that tomb, is now seated at the right hand of the Father, has sent the Holy Spirit to work in our life and to convict us and to guide us and to show us that Jesus Christ is the way to heaven. on the way to Earth. When that happens, when somebody comes to that recognition, there's a big celebration. A big celebration in heaven, where all the angels and all the heavenly kingdom celebrates the return of that one lost person. That's what the celebration represents. The second element is the finder. Each of these stories has a different character. The first one has a man, which was the shepherd. The second one is a woman. And the third one is a father. These elements represent the Lord. The Lord who is seeking. The Lord uses many different methods, depending on the person, depending on the circumstances, depending on the reaction of the person he's seeking, the different methods he uses to find the lost. The shepherd cared for every one of his sheep. He had a large flock of 100. So he left the 99 secure and he went looking for the sheep. This is an illustration of the Lord actively seeking those who are lost. He's not sitting around. He's in pursuit of the lost. The woman aggressively swept, cleaned all night long until she found the coin. She would not sleep. She would not give up until it was found. This is an illustration of the Lord never giving up on anyone. Anyone, regardless of the situation of their situation, the Lord will not give up until everyone recognizes who Christ is. The side note, it's very interesting that Jesus uses a woman to illustrate the Lord, which is himself. If we are created, both male and female, if we are created in his image, then the Lord has a female characteristic. It's that nourishing and that passionate side. It's a very interesting concept for some of us to understand who have been in a male-dominated teaching environment, where women have a very critical role in the body of Christ. That's when God instituted marriage, it was a man and a woman. Because those two together are the fulfillment to him, the fulfillment of his image. Together they come together and they fulfill who he wants and what he wants a family to be and how the characteristics of a household now are whole with both a man and a woman. The third story tells of a father who gave his son the freedom. The son came and said, give me your inheritance. Most of us would say, no way, you've got to wait. But here this father says, sure, go. Have your freedom. But what he does is he patiently waits for the son to return. See, the Lord gives his people freedom to choose. He gives you the freedom to go and research, to go evaluate, to go test, to go ask questions. Maybe even try different religions. Maybe even try immoralities. He gives you that freedom. But he knows that everything other than himself will turn up empty. And you will be feeding pigs. So he waits for our return. He waits for his people to return to him. And when we do, he's there with open arms. No condemnation, complete forgiveness with a celebration. So the third element is the celebration. The third one is the finder, which is the Lord, many different approaches he takes. The first element, though, of these stories is the lost. This is us. Each one of us has a different story. Each lost person is different. It represents all humanity. Every one of us can identify with one of these last characters. The lost sheep knew the comfort of his shepherd's protection. The sheep had experience with the counter companionship of the 99 other sheep. Yet somehow she got lost. Maybe she was so focused on the grass that her head was down and the other 99 headed back to the pen. Maybe she wandered off the path looking for greener grass, thinking that there was something better out there. Maybe she got scared and ran. And then she couldn't find her way back. Regardless of the reason why the sheep was lost. Having a little experience with animals growing up on a small farm, I know that when an animal is lost or separated from the herd, they'll cry out. They'll cry out in order to be found, to be taken back to the safety and the companionship of their peers. And I suspect that this sheep was no different. She's lost and crying out, and when the shepherd hears, he finds her and brings her safe. This lost sheep is an illustration of us who grew up knowing the truth, taught in the Word of God, but somehow started listening to the wrong teaching. This teaching may have taken us down a path that becomes a burden. Or maybe it just doesn't make sense. Maybe it doesn't add up. Maybe there's an incompleteness in it, and there's just a void. And now it has led to discouragement and frustration, and we're lost. See, true teaching of the Word of God is not frustrating or burdensome. It doesn't demand. Jesus said that his yoke is light, and he takes it. True teaching points to Christ. True teaching glorifies God. It is not man-centered. It is not. There aren't any restrictions to it. Ephesians 2:8-9 says that we are saved by grace through faith. Period. We are saved by grace through faith. All you need to do is have faith. And if you've gone down the path of listening to, you have to pay money, or you have to do this action, or you have to do this type of event to be saved, that's heresy. You are saved by grace through faith. Christ did the work. You are saved in the faith in his work and the grace that God has given you. Then once you understand this and come back, and then there's a celebration. A great example of this in the Bible is Apollos. He comes to Ephesus and he's teaching. He's teaching God. He's teaching the Word of God. But Priscilla and Aquila realize that he's not teaching the full gospel. He's not teaching the whole. So they take him aside and they teach him the truth. And he comes back in the recognition of what the message is and who Christ is. And we find that in Acts chapter 18. The second story, the coin, is an illustration of an inanimate object, something that can't hide itself, something that can't rationalize or make a choice, something that doesn't hide or run away. This is a representation of those who don't even know that they are lost. Those who never heard. Desire is that for all men come to know him. He seeks everyone. The Holy Spirit works in everyone's life, regardless of their life condition. He is relentless. He is in pursuit of his people. He is in pursuit that people will respond to the Holy Spirit's prompting and repent to change their lives and follow him. And when they do, there's a grand celebration. A great example of this is Paul himself. He was Saul. He was persecuting the church. He didn't know that he was lost. He thought he was doing the right thing. And Jesus appeared to him in a bright light, knocked him off his horse, and said, "Why are you persecuting me?" And from that moment on, Paul changed. Jesus will seek you out. Listen to his voice. if you are lost in him, do not know that he is the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God, who died for your sins, who paid the price for you through death on the cross and separating himself from God the Father. If you don't know that, today is your day of recognizing that and turning to him in repentance that I'm going to be yours. The third parable, the son is the one who had everything. He knew what life was. He may have been in the church. He knows the Bible. He knows the law. He knows God's desires. He may have been involved to the point where he had a position of authority and he got burned. Or he got frustrated. Or he got burned out. And he said, I need to go. I need to leave. I don't need this. This doesn't work for me. At some point, he came to the realization, and maybe that point is today, that everything else is worthless and meaningless. The book of Ecclesiastes says that Solomon had everything, and in the end, he says, all that is meaningless. The only thing that's important is God himself. Now's the time to change. Here's the time to choose. If you're down, if you're to the point where you gave it up and you went your own way, and you're exhausted and you're saying, I got to get back. Get back. Come back. Come back to the Lord. Get back in his word. Pray and ask his forgiveness. And you know what? You'll find his arms open wide with no condemnation. It takes courage. It takes work. It takes a little initiative. But that's what the Lord's waiting for. See, these three parables of the lost. The end result is the same, the lost is found. The message is the same, that Jesus and God, the Lord God, is seeking you and wants you to be his, to bring you back or to bring you in initially. That's the message. There's one way, and it's Jesus Christ. There's many different ways to get there. The Holy Spirit guides us. It can be a long process. Or it can be instant, like Paul was. But today, if you're lost, get found. If you are found, celebrate. If you're lost, get found. Get into the Word of God. Seek somebody. Ask questions. Email me, markcooper@justbibleministries.org. If you're found, celebrate. Then help someone else get found. Thank you for your attention. If you have any questions or comments, please email me, mark.cooper@justbibleministries.org. Find out more about Just Bible Ministries at justbibleministries.org. Go look at our website. And the work that we're doing around the world to share the gospel and bring the Word of God. Join us again next time as we see what the Word of God has for us. Until then, this is Just Bible Ministries, one project impacting many people. God bless.